the Living Farms podcast, the place where we discuss biodynamic practices worldwide for you, your farm, and the planet. So welcome to the Living Farms podcast. We are here today with Rosalind Maynard from the UK, which I'm very happy to have in this podcast. She has a 60-acre farm in near Devon, England. And she's particularly focusing on sheep. So thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Lynn.
And we start the podcast always with the question, like, what was your journey to biodynamics and how did you came across anthroposophy and why it caught you or not leaving it until now?
Thank you. Great question. I was aware of Rudolf Steiner's work. There's a school very close to here. And some of my godchildren went to the Rudolf Steiner school here. And one of my best friends went to a boarding school in England, a Rudolf Steiner boarding school. And then I was at a plant fair, a local plant fair, and I was already growing vegetables organically. And I bumped into the chairman of the Southwest Biodynamic Group, our local group down here. He had a stall there and I just got talking with him, and he had a library. He gave me some books and he gave me a newsletter, and there was a community garden very close to where I am that was biodynamic, being biodynamic for 20 years. And I just started going there and reading, and I bought Maria Tun's calendar, and I was just immediately struck. I was immediately struck by the relationship with the whole cosmos, that it wasn't just a relationship with the Earth, the planet Earth, that it was a relationship with the stars and the planets, the movement, the patterns, this pattern language, which is how I relate to it. Yeah, and it just touched me very deeply, and I was very hungry for it. I was like, oh my word, this is really something, this really speaks to me. And immediately I started following the calendar, and it was in May, so I'd already started planting and just had some fantastic results over the first couple of years with my vegetables. Just one thing that really struck me was it was a very dry summer the following year, and by then I started spraying the 500, and I was reading John Soper's book, and I'd been also working with the 501, the silica spray, which is just magic for me. It's such a beautiful experience to be with that in the early morning. And I just had these incredible taproots on my plants, like radishes with like taproots. And I'm not exaggerating, when I was measuring them, they were like over 20 centimeters, 30 centimeters long. And I wasn't having to water, and I was gardening on a hill as well, so it can dry out quite easily. And incredible parsnips, the roots on the parsnips. I mean, I was just digging so deep to get the parsnip roots out of the ground. And I hadn't experienced that before. And like, that's only anecdotal. I can't say I was, you know, studying it in a scientific way with, you know, but, and it really struck me. And I remember sharing that with other friends of mine that were gardeners, and they were watering and panicking because it was so dry. And I really resisted watering, and still I had this amazing crop of vegetables. So that was something.
Wow.
It really struck me. And then should I say another thing?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then another thing that was really at the beginning of my journey was with the tree paste. I had two very sick apple trees here in the orchards, and I wasn't able to paste all the trees. And we must have over 100 trees. You've got 2.5 acres of apples. And I particularly just chose these trees. And one tree had a funny black spot. It was all over the apples, all over the leaves, and it'd been like that for 2 years. And I pasted that tree, and I followed it, I recorded it. And the following autumn, there was nothing. There was no fungal black spot at all on any of the apples. I mean, even my husband, who's still slowly coming around to biodynamics, couldn't believe it. Actually, it was, I actually wrote a little article about it for our local newsletter. And then the other tree, she's up on a hill, she's very close to a hedge with lots of hazel, and after spending time with her, I could see she was struggling with the other trees. And she had the tree pace, and I had a sense that she was struggling a little bit. There were other trees. She had a little bit more to compete with. She was very close to a hedgerow. And I was going up there to sit with her just as she was starting to blossom. The sheep were in the orchards there as well, so I'd be walking around. But she was right up in the corner, and it was almost a sense that she was just very far away from the farm. She wasn't really included in the farm somehow. And then I just remember the blossom coming. I just remember being there, the blossom coming out over a few days. Just, she's a Bramley apple tree, a cooking apple. And for the first time, she really had such a flush of blossom. And there was such a light that was radiating from her blossom. It was just, she was had this cloud of light around her. And her apple crop wasn't terrific, but she had a crop, but she blossomed. She was singing again, if you like. I don't mean that literally. I mean it in a very poetic sense. It's just a way of knowing, I think, and having a relationship with another organism that doesn't involve maybe our cerebral reductionist thinking. It's just a way of feeling something. And that's how I would describe it. Maybe someone else would experience it and describe it in a different way, but it was very magical. Yeah. So those experiences, I was just, I've never looked back, really. Yeah.
And it's quite interesting how fast this happened, or how fast you could experience the change. I mean, when you're saying that you tested it in 1 year and you already had such great results in the first year with the parsnips and then also with the preparation. So that's quite good. Yeah.
I mean, I think the compost is, it's, I mean, even now I've just put a new polytunnel in, and the mycelium that just came along. Well, actually, even before I put the compost on, I did a 500 spray, and I dug the ground over, put a 500. It's very clay, so it's called shillet, the soil. It's very young soil here. And then I dug the compost in, and I just had such fantastic results immediately. You know, the soil just had this life to it. And it's hard to grow in this soil around here. It's a very hungry soil. And the compost, I think that's something that's really key.
So you mentioned that your first entry point into biodynamics, so to say, was with the biodynamic preparations on your farm. And did you experience these preparations by yourself before you tested it on your farm? Or how did you manage to do that?
Through the community garden that I was attending at the time, which was biodynamic gardening, and it'd been there for practice for 20 years. It's a very special place. Mixture of different people, local people that just wanted good food, people that were anthroposophists, some people with children at the school, or they'd gone to Steiner schools themselves, and just gathering on voluntary days, just gardening together. And they held the autumn preparation making day there in just after Michaelmas. And that was my first experience of making the preps. And I just arrived. I didn't know what to expect, except for what I'd read in some of John Soper's books. And there were these sheaths from a cow. And I was like, what is this? I was just so, so curious. The intestine, the mesentery. And I've been teaching human anatomy for many years, experiential anatomy. So a little bit like Goethean science, but human, a study of human anatomy from a Goethean science perspective. And the relationship with the herbs that you put in, and the chamomile in the intestines, and the smell, and the dandelion and the mesentery, the little windows, I just thought, this is beautiful. This is, I know for some people it's tricky. A lot of people don't really handle animal substances, but just the thought of being able to work with all of our animal, you know, we maybe take the meat, but there's all these uses, very old very, very old ancient ways of using, you know, the intestine, the and that relationship to the digestion of the composting process, and that relationship to the mercurial element of mercury and the chamomile or the valerian and Saturn, and this pattern language again, and that this holistic approach that we could create this nourishing, nurturing compost that brought all these elements, not just the material elements, but all these finer forces that we can't measure, hooray. That brought all these finer forces into this living realm of food and spirit and heart and hands. And yeah, I was blown away by it. I really was. And that was my first experience of the preparations. And I work with them a lot now. I love just the picking, the whole rhythm of it. You know, dandelions here in April and chamomile in summer, and just been doing chamomile and nettle. And I haven't worked so much with nettle yet. It's the one prep I don't know so well. Yeah, I love being in relationship. It's like a sense of agency. You know, it's a biological level for a human being to have that agency, to be in relationship with our land and our food. And, you know, we have a gut brain, you know, and the microbiome in the gut brain, you know, there's studies that say it relates to the microbiome in the soil. There's some very small studies as I understand them. But, you know, so there's a physical relationship. And I think that's sometimes a good way to start in biodynamics. But then, of course, there's this older, more ancient spiritual relationship that relates to our spiritual evolution, which is, it's this holistic realm of being that's nourishing. It just makes complete sense to me on every level.
And how would you say it change your relationship with your sheep? I mean, I assume you had the sheep before.
Yes.
Converting to biodynamics, so did something change there as well? And
yes.
How you handled them and how you...
Yeah, so I had really very little experience of sheep until I married the farmer. and I kind of inherited his flock. So initially I was working with him really, and he was, you know, managing the flock. And then gradually he sort of semi-retired. He's a little bit older than me, but anyone knows most farmers never retire. Mm-hmm. But gradually I've taken on the shepherding, and I think it's about this relationship between things. I mentioned this in my biography, that I've slowly, and it's really evolved more clearly to me in the last 5 years, I'd say, but I've been a shepherd for about 12 years. And it's something that there's me, and there's my you, and there's those two objects, if you like, more of an objective like me, them, other. Or there's me, there's my you, and there's this, there's something in between. And it's a little bit about this lecture that I was speaking about earlier, this Whitson lecture. And Steiner talks about this relationship between different elements, plant, mineral, animal, human, and that I'm going to probably describe it in a very crude way because I'm very new to this, but something, my sense of it, something to do with this, when we acknowledge that relationship through our soul forces, the elementals can incarnate in some way, something like that. I mean, you probably know more about this, Lynn, than I do. But it's something about they're recognized, they can exist in some way. And I became very aware of this relationship with the salamanders 3 years ago, and my sheep and me. And so I just explored different ways of learning to start to communicate with them. And I'm still learning, they're teaching me. I think they're wiser than I am. I gave a paper last year in my somatics world, are we intelligent enough to know how intelligent animals really are? And I think it's this element, this that exists between this relationship. And so just learning to communicate with them, really. I don't have a dog, so they follow me. And I've learned different hand gestures that they understand. They've kind of taught me. I've just sort of been gesturing. Sometimes I just, the last few years, I'm not sure if I'm really working with the elementals in any particular formal way, if there's a formal way, but just asking the salamander sometimes for help, for guidance. When I've had difficult lambing, or I'm not sure what I'm doing, how to treat an animal, it's very easy to jump into sometimes conventional medicine with my vet and drugs and injections and panic for me. And which is also something to do with my relationship, I think, to death as well, because something I've noticed with the sheep, you know, when they're ready to die, they just die. It's very simple for them. Or they lose a lamb, you know, they go through a process, they lose the lamb, they go through a process of losing the lamb, and just slowing down, taking more time with them. I mean, that's really key. I studied natural horsemanship many years ago. I did a community project on Dartmoor with some farmers with wild ponies. And so I took some of the skills from that as well to work with the sheep. But understanding, I think, as well, they're coming back to if they're sick or ill, I've learned a lot from them, like observing them and following them and walking with them through the fields, about how they self-medicate. So how they choose to browse when they're ill after they've lambed. I always give them ivy. I don't know if you know ivy. And they really like to eat cleavers when they've just finished lambing. And if they need a painkiller, I'll often offer them willow. And they're very clear. They won't eat it if they don't want it. I think it's more, for me, biodynamics has offered me a way of perceiving my relationship with my sheep, with my plants, with the farm, and trusting that way of perceiving and not rushing in to look at a book or Google something or ask a computer, but learning to ask them.
Yeah. And how's your experience then? Like, do you see a difference in, for example, how healthy the sheep are, or how successful is not the right word probably, but how healthy your sheep are.
Yes, they do. I mean, I think, you know, there's quite a lot of information about how one of the biggest contributors to illness in sheep is stress. Mm. They're flight animals. So teaching them to being with them and then learning to be with me, and learning the patterns through the farm, through the year, because they love rhythm. So anything that can support them to be calm, they like to know what they're doing, where they're going, you know, just being gentle and slow. They're very gentle animals, really. And even the rams, and in their own ways. And you know, it's so interesting with sheep, because they don't like metal. They don't like the sound of metal. They don't like the wheelbarrow. They cannot understand the wheelbarrow. They don't like plastic, you know. They don't like, you know, but I think they get used to the sound of plastic. If you put some food in a bag and rattle it, then they realise that that's food. But they don't like flappy plastic things, which I think is so interesting. So I think anything that can minimize the stress, you know, so the more for me, I know them, I can walk into a field, they will come up to me if I need to turn them up to trim their feet, you know, and they don't want to be turned up. Well, they take a while to find a comfortable position, but still I can catch them. You know, it's not stressful. When I'm lambing, I can, they let me help them lamb. They just lie down, let me help them lamb. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful relationship. And sometimes when they're very stressed, like my ewe lambs, they're like teenagers. So they're very flighty. And so it takes a while for them to, they calm down once they have their first lambs. But the other day I was with a ewe and she had blowfly maggots on her wool. It was the day before we were shearing. So frustrating. So it's just before we were shearing, but she got the maggots. And so afterwards, I often mix calendula flowers with like a barrier cream, like clotted cream or coconut oil or something, just to help the healing of the skin and to soften it so it doesn't crack. And she was really, didn't know me very well. She's very frightened. It was really hard to get her to come to me. And that's when I invited some guidance from the salamanders. When I just, you know, because I was getting frustrated and I was in a rush as well. It's disastrous with sheep. And I just stopped and I just said, okay, you know, what shall I do here? And then I was like, I'm just going to ask if there's something, some guidance, some, well, in body, mind, center, in the somatics practice, we talk about the mind of the situation, the atmosphere changed. It just softened. And she was still frightened. She still wasn't keen, but there was a panic that had gone. There was a level of panic that had gone in me and in her. She let me hold her head. She didn't, you know, she wasn't, you know, she just let me hold her head and she just stood there. She was rigid. She was still a little bit unsure, but, and I could put the cream on her. So that's one example.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I can't say how that happens. I can't say if I hadn't done that or if I'd just breathed more calmly or been more mindful. But I really feel over the last 5 years, there's something in between. There's something that's in between me and my sheep. It's really something I feel it's important to turn our attention to begin to explore, to begin to, when we can, when we feel it in our heart, in our soul, we have that's, it's a level of awareness, of openness, of receptivity that's not up here.
And I think one of the tricky parts with that is that once you feel it, it may frighten you when it's the first time you experience this, a kind of new situation, and you might feel frightened, like, oh my God, what is happening here? And then there's also the second difficulty with it, that you want to reproduce it constantly.
Yeah.
The channel open the whole time.
Yeah.
Because you really need to relax your mind as well for feeling.
Yeah.
If you're already in this mode of like, I should have this connection and it's a constant channel.
Definitely. I wasn't frightened, but I was a bit taken back the first time I began to explore it, because there was just such for me, there was such a connection. There was such a shift. I had a very sick ewe with the first time I opened up this connection. The vets had been out to see her 3 times and everyone was like, she's going to pass away. She's not going to live. And she hadn't stood up for about 4 days, which is disastrous for any sheep not to stand, because, you know, and I was trying to get her to stand, and I was getting up through the night to move her and turn her because she couldn't move. And that's when I kind of mixed up my somatics practice, which we have a practice called cellular touch, which is just a touch. It's just a presence of cells. It's not to try and do anything. It's just a listening touch, just sensing the relationship. And I just did this on her belly. And that's when I first just opened my awareness to the possibility of this relationship with the salamanders, of their presence and what they might. And that was a little bit frightening, not scary frightening. It was a little bit kind of frightening, shocking that something really, and she survived anyway. She survived. It was amazing. About 24 hours later, I went out into the, or less than that, I went out to the lambing shed. She was standing up. She was very, very weak. And I had to, you know, spend a lot of time with her, getting her strength back. But, and that was my first experience. I haven't spoken to anyone about that, Lynn.
Sorry.
It's very nice to just share it. It's difficult to put it into words, because as soon as I put it into words, it somehow diminishes the experience. It's a way of knowing that's just not cognitive somehow. That's how it feels to me. It's a primary experience, and when I put it into words, it becomes derivative of the experience, and it's somehow it lessens it somehow. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Totally. And I think that's it makes total sense, because we are often not trained to first of all express these feelings, and then also to perceive this kind of energy, or to acknowledge it when it happens. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on this somatic practice you are doing, because you're also a teacher in this. And I have not heard about it, but I'm very interested in what you're doing it, and when you're also applying it to your sheet, then it might be interesting for the listeners to get to know what are you doing there.
Yeah, so I'm also a teacher, and I'm a therapeutic practitioner in a somatics practice called body-mind centering, the experiential anatomy of body-mind centering, which is a form or an approach to body-mind integration, to a sensory awareness through the body, through our sense of weight and rhythm, and coming to know ourselves, not just through cognition. You know, we can look at a bone in an anatomy book, a dry, white, but we can then also touch our bones. There's a way of touching the bone, that tissue, this constant tissue. Bone loves to be touched. It's it creates another connection, another way of knowing myself through my skeleton, for example, which is a structure, a protective structure that it supports us. And it's an interesting mind that comes along when we feel that. Blood, lymph, these different qualities. And I'm very interested in the anthroposophical approach to embryology and anatomy as well. Again, this pattern language that just connects with the biodynamics, my understanding of the sheaths, of the threefold nature of the human being, the rhythm, the senses, and the metabolism, and the limbs, you know, these different ways of perceiving and experiencing ourselves that isn't just through reductionist objective science, which is also very interesting for me, for many of us, but we also know the world in so many other ways.
And how did you, you're also part of this biodynamic group. And you also mentioned that you do the compost preparations together. So how did, for example, your neighbors reacted when you changed from organic to biodynamics? Or was this an easy shift?
Different responses. I have to say I haven't had any uncomfortable experiences. We have a lovely farming family in a farm next door to us. And they farm with so much love. I mean, they're such a lovely family. And I've learned a lot actually from the farmer who's farming now. They're about four, fifth generation farmers there. And they're very well known in our local community. And they're very generous. They're very open to people coming. And they're not organic. They have some of their land is organic, a little bit, but not biodynamic. But somehow they have a natural propensity, I think, to that way of farming. I was a little bit nervous to start with talking about them. Well, how to talk about it? I remember reading in the agricultural lectures, I think, I can't remember if it was Steiner's introduction or Pfeiffer's introduction to the copy I have, something about not to speak about biodynamics until you've been practicing it for 4 years. And that really resonated with me in relation as well to my somatics practice as well. It's something about experiencing it really deeply, living it, and then so that we speak about it from ourselves, not from in my feelings, to speak about it not from what I've read or what I think it is, but my experience of it. There's something more authentic about that, and I think people recognize it. A lot of my students are very interested in it. I've done somatics and biodynamics together, so I've held workshops where we practiced relating to gravity, ground, lying is relating, opening our awareness to this very old reflex that we establish as a baby, bonding with the earth and gravity, the tonic labyrinthine reflex. And then having some lunch, and in the afternoon doing the 500 and relating to the ground, the earth, and how that quality of mind, how we relate to the preparation, the stirring, the spiral in the heart, the spiral in the vortex, the fluid heart. So different, I've shared some different things with people. Generally, I think people are really interested. You know, they see me spraying and they're, you know, what are you doing? Are you spraying a pesticide on the trees? Because we're certified, all the trees are certified organic. They're not actually certified by our orchards, and they go to an organic apple and cider producer. And ask me if I'm spraying pesticides, and then I explain I'm with the silica spray in the mornings. Or yeah, I think for me, I've found a good way to talk about biodynamics is maybe coming through the material aspect of it, and then just sharing a little bit of a sense of the spiritual. I feel it's so important for me to feel out more clearly how I can really have a dialogue about that. I think people are hungry for it. I think we're so lacking in it now. We're so impoverished of our relationship to the sacred, the spiritual, this spiritual evolution that Steiner, I've just started to explore that. I mean, it's just, we have this physical material evolution on this planet, and then we have this spiritual evolution. I mean, it's marvelous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I also have the feeling that the people are really starving to get into this contact with the spiritual dimension. We are, for example, currently writing a booklet about the spiritual dimension of climate change, for example. So,
how interesting.
From the perspective of the anthroposophy and...
Okay.
Yeah, it's
wonderful
how people have this thirst for connecting again with the patterns and the cosmology and like this connection with nature again.
Yeah.
And on this other hand, this very materialistic, rational thinking, so to say. So, and I think both sides can totally be there. It doesn't have to be either or, but they can like align with one another and interact with one another. So, and I always find it so nice when I hear examples like you're doing this with your somatic practice, that they can be combined with other aspects of life. Or, I mean, biodynamics is something which can be connected from different angles with other practices, and you can. Yeah, you can integrate it into your daily life. And that's, I think, something which is, for me personally, very valuable, be it a farmer or also a consumer. I mean, it's also something that you can take as a consumer with you. Yeah, so thank you very much for your insights. I'm pretty sure we could talk about hours. And I personally have a very high affinity to sheep. I also worked with sheep in Scotland for some time. So thank you so much for joining in. I wish you so much luck with your farm and continuing your work and exploring the biodynamics more and more step by step. And I'm happy to hear that you had already in the first year quite some success with implementing.
Yeah, just absolutely. Yeah.
So So thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you, Lynn. It's my pleasure.